Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to You've Got Cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Elsa.
And this is our first episode.
That's right. Welcome.
We're welcome to no one.
Right.
To the void.
Right. Right. The abyss. The void.
Get ready for a lot of some right. nose sniffles.
Some awkward pauses.
We're just finding our groove.
Right.
So basically, this is a podcast all about rom-coms.
That's right.
And we're gonna partake in some alcoholic or non, I don't know,
right,
beverages, because okay,
first blooper.
So that was my phone that just fell on the ground, if you could hear that. So
we're talking about rom-coms and we're drinking.
Yeah, we're looking to incorporate drinking into our daily lives a lot more.
Yeah, why not?
And, you know, the first thing we thought of was rum and rom-coms.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the origin of You've Got Cocktail, also because it's a play on You've Got Mail, which is kind of an iconic, not iconic cocktail, it's an iconic rom-com.
Right, right.
Sorry, we have had a drink.
But we are having an iconic cocktail, which is
the piña colada. It's really good. I don't know if you can hear that.
I know.
Ice sound.
ASMR. Ooh, ASMR. For you, possibly.
This is the drink. Really bad at ASMR.
Yeah.
Silent. So today, let me tell you a little bit. God, that's so bad.
God, this is good.
So we're going to just tell you a little bit more about why we started this.
Right.
So Elsa and I have been friends for 20 years.
That's right.
And one thing we love to do is go see movies together. Like, that's our thing.
That's right. God, we saw, like, Avengers, like, three times.
The when Crazy Stupid Love came out, I think I saw it three times in theaters, once with Elsa. Right. Like, we like movies. And we are particularly... And we are particularly into romantic comedies.
Yes, yes.
And that's kind of what's going to drive us.
Right, this podcast.
Rom-coms.
Alcohol.
Did we mention that?
And?
And just, like, talking about the changes in rom-coms, because we've been watching rom-coms for a long time.
Right.
And we like old rom-coms. We like new ones. Right. And some of the rom-coms we've loved for a long time are now... We're realizing very problematic.
Yes, unfortunately,
things have changed for a good, like,
right,
in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
But we thought it'd be fun to just kind of, like, deep dive into rom-coms we've loved, we've seen, we hate.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned.
One of us hasn't seen, and the other has.
Yes,
which is interesting,
which is what we're doing today. So just, like, a little background, if you live under some sort of boulder.
Mm-hmm.
A rom-com. Also, what's a rom-com?
Well, when I first thought of rom-com, I think of romance, comedic moments.
Yes!
And, you know,
that's it. She did it. Okay,
yeah.
Well, if you want, like, the dictionary definition, mm-hmm. I've got that for you, too. And that's
let's check a movie or play
that deals with love in a light, humorous way.
Right.
So we see, like, two people meet.
Mm-hmm. Got one.
You know, there's romantic pitfalls, maybe some heartbreak.
Right. Complications.
It's like attractive people.
Communication issues.
Getting it on, which is always fun to watch.
That too.
Yes. Can live through them. Yes.
Essentially.
And there are so many. And one thing, like, we definitely want to talk about is what the hell is considered a rom-com nowadays.
Yes.
Because we were looking at lists like, oh, the best rom-coms ever. And I'm sure you've read these lists.
They
like
Brokeback Mountain.
Like, yes,
which,
there's romance, but that's not a comedy.
It's depressing.
And, like, The Notebook, which...
yeah, it's also pretty
emotional. Yeah, there's not a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
There's not... I don't really laugh during that movie.
Actually, yeah, not at all. It's crying, essentially.
Yeah, just like, oh my God. So, yeah, so basically, we're just confused where these people are getting their lists. We definitely think there's rom-coms that teeter... on the line.
Right. A lot of movies are on a thin line.
Yeah. Thin line. You know, when you get to, like, screwball romantic comedies, that's a very thin line between, like, comedy and romantic comedy.
Yes.
But today, we're going to deep dive into the namesake of this podcast.
Right, naturally.
Naturally. 1998, You've Got Mail!
That's right.
Woo!
You've Got Mail.
You've Got Mail. Insert audio here.
Yes.
No, we're not that high tech.
But we have a lot of memories of, you know, Messenger.
We do, we do. And it was a sad day last year when Messenger shut down.
That's right.
But we've got You've Got Mail to remind us.
Right, that fuzzy sound of...
Oh, that fuzz.
Which...
Oh, yeah.
Don't miss that.
Don't miss that at all. That was... Fortunately, we got past that pretty quickly, and now we're definitely living in the digital age.
Yes.
So, You've Got Mail, starring Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan.
Right.
Another one of their stellar... performances together.
Right, a hit all around.
A hit. This follows 1993's Sleepless in Seattle, starring them, mm-hmm. also directed by Nora Ephron. She also wrote this with her sister Delia.
Oh, didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And fun fact, this is one of the instances where Elsa has not seen the movie.
Right.
And nice. I have. So Elsa came into this with very fresh eyes. She's heard of it.
Oh, yes. I knew some parts
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, she's but... like, yeah, Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
What would be their name?
Oh, like if they had a...
Tig?
They both have short names.
Mom.
Mem. Wait, no.
Mom.
Like Tom. Oh, it would just be Mom.
Mom or Tag?
Mom.
Tag. That sounds like I'm from, like, Minnesota.
Yeah, but Mom is Mom.
Mom. I love it. Okay, yeah. So Mom is in this movie. JK. They have great chemistry in this, I will say.
They do. And they really... I mean, that probably comes from them doing a movie before, but still, like... I love it.
Okay, here's a question. Do you think Tom Hanks is attractive?
Ooh. Wait, this is important to
like,
start
Like, before
with,
we
actually,
get into this, like...
I have mixed feelings.
Because in my head, like, romantic comedies... I know this is not what it should be, but in my head, like, romantic comedies are, like, super hot people.
Right, like a really hot
really
dude.
Hotties.
Or which even I guess, Ryan, like, she's kind of cute.
She's a cutie pie.
She's cute, but I wouldn't really say she's hot.
But that's kind of why I like this
True.
Pairing. Because Tom Hanks...
And it's only PG.
Like,
so.
Tom Hanks is... is it PG?
Yes, it is.
Oh
Did you
my
see
God.
That? Yeah.
I don't think I'm used that. To that. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
PG. Yeah, okay.
PG-rating. But yeah, back to Tom Hanks.
Back to the attractiveness.
You know,
okay.
The last movie I watched with him, I told you this earlier, was... The Bachelor Party, which
oh
he's quite young in it, and
he's still kind of
cute.
Goofy.
He's cute. He's like
he's
a goofy,
goofy cute.
But he's older in this movie.
Oh my God, we're offending so many people
oh no,
right now.
Yeah,
are we offending you? We're sorry.
Oh no, but, he's still cute, but just
okay. Tom Hanks is a national treasure.
Yeah,
let's put that out
and
there.
His voice. Okay, he's got that unique
oh God
voice that everyone
Woody.
Recognizes. Woody,
oh.
like.
We love Tom Hanks, okay, but we're just
still
discussing
him,
the merits.
He might not be our type.
Yeah, he's not my, like, oh my God, but he is very cute.
Yes.
He's cute.
They're cute. This movie's cute.
Yes.
That's
what
how it's supposed to be.
Great word for this movie.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. A little more background on You've Got Mail. So this is, like, very complicated, but You've Got Mail is based on many a thing. So the first origins is a 1937 Hungarian play. I looked this up.
Oh, shit,
I don't
okay.
just have this knowledge. By
She's got the facts here.
The play is called Parfumery, and it's by, oh God, bear with me, Miklos Laszlo. I think it did pretty
That's
good.
So bad. That's not bad.
Okay. Which was later remade into the 1940 film Shop Around the Corner
oh, wait, this is the one
by Ernest Lubitsch. No. Lubitsch? I don't know. Starring James
sure.
Stewart and Margaret Sullivan. James Stewart, you know,
Oh, yeah.
She got it now. Which I've seen that. Again, Elsa has not.
No, another
what
one.
A failure.
Hey, you haven't seen, well, maybe I won't say it now, but
oh,
there's a lot
well,
of things you
spoilers.
Haven't seen that you'll get to see.
Shop Around the Corner is really good.
Yeah.
And then it was again remade in 1949 into a movie musical called In the Good Old Summertime.
Oh, wow. So a play, a movie, then a musical?
Yeah, a movie musical.
Wow. Oh,
and
movie
now,
musical.
Like 40 years later, we've got, nope, I can't do math.
Yeah,
is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, roughly.
40 years later, after the latest remake, yeah. we've got You've Got Mail.
Right.
So, let's get, you know what, let's get into it.
Let's
take a deep dive into the world of
yes,
Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. Okay, tell me your thoughts. As
well,
a new time.
Right,
new
well,
time,
I mean, as it opened up, first thing, Harry Nilsson.
The puppy song.
Which,
like,
is a cute song.
It's such a cute song, but I'm also like,
but kind
guys,
of wondering
really?
Why.
What?
But you know, it had that classic opening, right? I think it starts with
a dream.
Well, yes.
Oh, this you meant the movie.
Yes,
oh, yeah,
yes.
sure.
It starts with them walking, right? Isn't it? They're walking.
Yeah, they're walking.
Almost in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, they're like walking. They're just passing each other. It's like oh my goodness. By seconds, they're passing each other at the
same, right. It's like, kind of showing you that you could.
They're so close to one another.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Like they could have met at any moment in real life. Mm-hmm. But I guess it does start out with them messaging each other for the first time.
So like we see their gorgeous apartments, which I'm like
opening up on that too.
Yeah, like his makes sense. Mm-hmm. He comes from money. Hers, I'm like,
what? Yeah. How does she afford that?
How does she afford that? Oh my god.
The bookshop. Come on.
Bookshop. I feel like it's a different time.
Oh, true.
1998.
That's true. Could have been a little more affordable back then.
Yeah. Gorgeous little shop. Mm-hmm. And so we see them. They're mirroring each other.
Right.
They're both waiting for their significant others to leave the respective apartments.
Which they immediately
like look out the window to make sure they're gone. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Like, I love this movie. I was a little bit suspicious at first.
Yeah, she's like, what's going on?
They're both with someone else already? Yeah. But they're having this kind of secret little chat, online chat.
Online chat. And then they log in, and then, you know, the sounds.
Right. Oh, the first, 90s. The dial-up.
Whatever sound that is. Yeah. I don't even want to repeat it because it was stuck in my head.
Exactly.
And then they start chatting. Really, really innocent.
Yeah, true.
Little sweet.
It is very innocent.
I guess it's very new.
Yeah.
Also, she said that they met in the over 30s chat room.
Oh, right.
The hell is that?
How did they get there in the first place?
What is that? Like, I that maybe is before our time.
Right. I was in Neopets chat rooms at that time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
I'm not really sure what over 30s would
be. So I guess maybe just a, I don't know. I don't even want to try and answer because I don't know.
Right.
But anyway, so her name is Kathleen Kelly. Yes. Everybody, alliterative name, which I appreciate.
It's nice. I do appreciate that.
Her username is Shop Girl.
Yes.
Cute.
Cute.
And then Joe Fox, Tom Hanks, is NY152.
Right.
Which we immediately learn is because he lives at 152 Riverside Drive.
Right. Not very safe.
Not very safe. Primo neighborhood, though. Primo. So they live in the Upper West Side.
Right. Yes.
And you kind of see them going off to work. Again, they're, like, barely missing each other.
Right, they're getting coffee, like,
getting coffee,
They're just so close.
They're so close.
Yet so far
they could have met, yeah. So, she, after they exchange these morning messages about, like, oh, it's so lyrical, and, like, really, is that how you're talking to a stranger?
Yes. It is strange.
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe there's no rules at this point. We're living in a different age where...
That's true. I mean, back then, it was new to them, so...
Yeah, so they're just like, I guess I should write to you as if... I'm writing poetry.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we see them at their workplaces.
Right, we get more background on them.
More background.
Like, where did they come from?
Where did they go? Where'd you come from? Cotton Eye Joe.
Where'd you come from?
Joe Fox. Is a son of a book magnate, would be maybe a way to describe that.
I guess so.
So they have like a big box store, but for books. So kind of think Barnes & Noble.
Right. That was my first thought. I was like, all right, they're like Barnes & Noble.
I love Barnes & Noble.
Big money, you know.
And she owns a little shop called the Shop Around the Corner.
Right.
Which is a nod to the original.
And
she just has, it's a children's store, which I totally forgot when I rewatched this again recently.
Well, I mean, it's my first time, but
it's first time. I've seen it.
It was interesting.
This is one of the first movies I ever saw with my mom. Mm. Like, she showed it to me because she knew I liked rom-coms. It's kind of like what made me want to move to New York.
Yeah, and as I was watching it, all the times I went to New York, it made me want to go back.
Yeah,
I was getting a little nostalgic.
It was very, it's like makes you want to go there,
yes.
Which I really appreciate. Again, like trope central though, New York City as a setting, which I still appreciate. Mm-hmm. I like that trope. So honestly, this Fox and Sons mega bookstore looks kind of amazing.
It does look pretty nice.
I love this talk of like we're gonna get them with our cappuccinos and our discounts.
Yeah, they're very aware of what they're doing.
Yeah,
which I found very,
which is like a subversion of the trope of like the big bad,
the guy.
But honestly, that store sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah,
of that is the thing they think is gonna make everybody come. It's the cappuccino and the discounts.
And the discounts.
If that's bad.
Yeah. I know,
sounds
right?
Amazing.
Everyone loves a discount.
To me. I love a cappuccino and I love a discount.
Yes.
So,
Yeah, Joe Fox comes Joe Fox, from money. Joe Fox. We've got the grandfather and the father. Yeah, also and they're involved.
They're kind of
a little. Ugh, they're mixed not up great. Family too.
They're yeah, not
his,
great.
His father figures mm-hmm. are quite.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say. They're
yeah. So they're like discussing like, oh, what competition yeah. do we have in the area? And he's like, oh, there's a mystery bookstore. That's no big deal. And right. then there's and then, like a beloved
yeah, the
children's
the
bookstore called Chopper on the Corner. And her, his grandpa and his dad, they're all in this room together. And they're like, oh, what are you doing to like include the neighborhood in the new store? And like, oh, we have a West Side writers section. And the dad says, yeah, keep those West Side liberal nuts, pseudo-intellectual bleeding hearts happy.
That's right!
I was like, oh my gosh! Yeah. I was like, that's real.
I feel like his father and grandfather follow, you know, the idea of the rich kind of, like, a-hole.
Yeah. You know? Oh, for sure. And they're, like, true. On his, like, fifth wife.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my God. And he's like, about to marry another woman.
Yeah. Who runs off with the nanny.
Right. Oh, that was a, yeah.
I was like, okay. Was I wasn't, end. I don't think I ever, I didn't realize that for a long time.
No, I mean.
Until I was older and I was like, oh.
I almost
wait,
didn't
what?
Catch it either. You yeah, know, it's kind of. First time watching it.
And that his stepmom, who's like younger than him, comes on to him.
Oh, God.
I'm like,
yeah.
what is going on in this
him
movie?
Eyes mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. catching his leg. Mm-hmm. Gross.
So, yeah, so that's kind of where they're living. That's what they're doing. We meet some fun characters. We meet the supporting staff.
Oh,
we meet,
yes.
We meet like the super hyper aware best friend.
Right.
Who's played by Heather Burns.
Oh.
And she's like a staple of the rom com genre. She was in. 2 weeks notice
oh, yeah.
as the best friend. What else was she in? She was in. Oh my gosh, it's gonna bug me so much.
But yes, an important.
Yeah.
Important oh, piece.
Miss Congeniality. Duh.
Oh.
Remember she was.
Yes. She's
New Jersey. Rhode Island.
No, Rhode Island. Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh, how could I forget? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Another
yep,
classic yep, yep. movie also.
Yeah, she's great. She pops up in a lot, and yes. I really like her.
And then we've got. Well, I can't even remember his name, but the other guy who works at her shop.
Oh, my gosh. Who's that actor?
And Steve's, I have no idea, no, actually.
That's
but
wrong.
He plays a very interesting character.
Steve Zahn. George.
Yeah. Oh, yes, George.
Yeah, he's yeah. kind of, like, cynical.
Yes, yes.
Again, these tropes are just
and
coming
then the
at
older
you.
Kind of, like...
Oh, Birdie, yeah, Jean Birdie, Stapleton. Yeah. Yeah, she's just, like, has all this wisdom. Has been there forever. Just knows Kathleen's mom.
Right,
who had
right.
passed away.
Exactly.
So, basically, those are, like, the people... Oh, also on Joe's side, we've got... Dave Chappelle.
Oh, yes, right.
Yep. Dave, like, Kevin, I think. Yeah, Kevin. Mm-hmm. And then his girlfriend is played by Parker Posey, who is a queen.
Yes.
Love her.
Yeah,
Patricia.
She's intense in this movie.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good.
Be.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
And then Kathleen is dating Greg Kinnear.
Right.
What's his name? Frank?
Yes,
he's like
Frank.
He's a reporter, and he loves
yes,
his typewriter.
Reporter, writer. He's obsessed with typewriters.
Yeah, he has like three typewriters. Like, chill, dude.
And he has very, like... particular and strong opinions.
Yeah.
And kind of, I think he thinks pretty highly of himself.
Oh, for sure.
Which is, it's like funny though.
It's funny, yeah. Like, yeah. He seems like a good boyfriend though. Like, I didn't have too many problems with him.
And he did support her and mm-hmm. wrote about mm-hmm. her shop and
mm-hmm.
he tries to be supportive.
He tries to be supportive.
But is somehow still kind of yeah. full of himself.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting.
Okay, so.
But that's Frank.
That's the supporting cast, you know, so important in this. Basically, they're carrying on this textual... Nope, not texts. Wow. AIM? Email? Email relationship?
Email.
Yeah, it's mail.
Emailing.
And then
at some point, he does.
Yes.
That, like,
oh, I remember that.
Messenger.
Mm-hmm. Instant messenger, yes.
Yeah.
And they like to read their messages aloud
yes.
while they're writing them.
Which is hilarious.
Which is great, obviously for the benefit of the audience, but...
Right, right. Kind of like what's going on in their head as yeah. they're writing mm-hmm, it, mm-hmm. but no one actually talks about
nobody
loud
does that.
Like,
I tested that out.
Yeah.
And I sounded like an idiot.
Right. You sound insane.
Also, in like today's talk, I was like, where are you at? Like, it
right.
doesn't sound
yeah.
as good as like, oh, a book when you're a child is a da-da-da, you
yeah.
know, all those, like,
you know, they
beautiful
sound pretty proper
quote.
In the emails,
yeah.
to be honest.
Yes, absolutely. So, anyway, the big problem here is that Joe Fox mm-hmm. and Kathleen Kelly, who are in a email relationship, are right. business rivals.
Yes, so
because
that's, the big...
that's the big thing. That's the irony. It's, yes. it's great. It's honestly great.
Yeah.
I love... stuff like that.
True, I know. I'll eat it up.
Oh,
I'll be
yeah.
honest.
It's so good. So basically they're just chatting all the while this Fox and Sons bookstore is being built, and she's like fake not worried about it, you know? She's doing that thing where
she pushes it kind of back, like, yeah. Oh, it's fine.
She's doing that thing that we all do that's like, it's fine, nothing's gonna happen.
Right. She said, it'll be new, but yeah, then our, you know, our loyal, like, customers discounts, will come,
like,
back.
No. Yeah, exactly. Like, we're personal, like, all of those workers are rude. I'm like, no, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not. They're nice. And he's trying to make sure the West Side is happy.
Right.
And then they meet. Where do they meet? They meet at some party.
Well, the first time they meet, he comes into her store.
Oh, duh.
Yes, yes.
He's with his brother and his aunt.
Yes.
Which are both younger than
both
him.
Both children. Like,
another trope
children.
Coming up, precocious child.
Yes, yes.
As a vehicle to make the leads fall in love.
They have a, you know, they have a fun outing showing that Tom Hanks' character is really good with kids.
Oh,
also,
God.
That's swoon, kind of, you know.
Swoon, he's yes. cute.
But he pops into her store, and that's how they first meet, because he makes up some kind of excuse, too, like, mm-hmm. oh, it was right there, and I'm not, you know, I'm yeah. just going to take these kids here.
Yeah, yeah, he added the kids with you him, know. So he went, kind of wanted to scope it out.
Right, but the whole thing is, he doesn't give away his name necessarily.
Yeah, he's like, I'm Joe.
He just says, call me Joe.
Call me Joe. Call me Joe.
Yeah, which is kind of silly, but yeah.
Yeah.
She has no idea that it's Joe Fox.
That's a little. I guess it makes sense. It's kind of sneaky, but it's also like, it makes sense. Like, he's not going to reveal himself to her while he's purchasing stuff from her store. Also, right. He spends like $73.
That's right.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, for the
books.
That's a lot of money.
And of course, pays in cash, so she doesn't see his name.
Right.
So that's the first time they meet. Mm-hmm. And then they meet again at a party.
Yes.
With their significant others.
Yes.
And she like says hi to him. And then some random person at the party is like, oh, that's Joe Fox. And she's like, oh, what?
Right.
Yes.
Like,
and then they fight.
Truth is revealed.
They have a little
spat. Yes.
And he eats all the freaking caviar. Like, what the
yeah,
fuck?
That
you don't need
weird.
That much caviar.
He scooped up all the caviar.
She's like, it's a garnish.
I do
agree with her on that.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. So then they go back. They're enemies now.
Right. Like, she's like, you lied to me.
You lied to
and
me.
And he kind of did, but he kind
yeah,
of didn't.
It's a lie of omission. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of just by not telling all the truth.
Yeah. You know? And then they, so now they go back to, like, messaging each other, not knowing that the one another is who they're complaining about or whatever.
Right, that's funny, too.
Oh, that's good.
Because, yeah, they're describing each other, essentially.
And they, you know what she says?
What
in this
say?
Damn movie, she says she's read Pride and Prejudice 200 times.
That's right.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Which like, how was... No.
200
times. I don't... What? She's what,
30-ish? 30? Yeah, in 30. Her 30s. Oh, obviously, in her 30s.
Like,
but they were in the
30s
chat room.
Are you
kidding me? But yes.
I'm sorry, that just makes... That was one of my biggest problems with this movie, is because...
Okay. When did she find the time to read it that many times?
And it's Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
It's not Harry Potter.
Right.
It's not
Hunger Games.
Yeah.
That might be our millennial talk here. But, you know.
It's not that like, I've read it. I've actually read it 3 times.
I've only seen the movies. Which is sad, but I mean, I know
great.
I would like the book.
It's kind of a slog to get through.
Right. A lot of description, right?
Oh,
and,
God.
Like,
and the thing is, I love Jane Austen. Like, yeah. Emma is one of my favorite books.
Yeah.
I love Sense and Sensibility. But Pride and Prejudice, oh, God, it's just like, it's pulling teeth to get through that, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's that slow burn.
Oh, slow burn.
Which I
just
love,
like,
but...
Oh, I mean, in the movie, it's just like, oh, yeah. Swoon.
Yes.
Death. But she's obsessed with it. And then, of course, like, when she mentions that to him through the email, we see a scene of him
trying to read it.
And that is literally me.
Yep.
He's like, he doesn't understand how to read it. And
yes.
That's very accurate.
Yes. Definitely representative of me.
Yes. And all the while, they're having this conversation, and she's trying to kind of defend her store. She's waiting for the new bookstore to open. She's hoping that, like, the business won't go down. All of these things.
Right.
And
she's starting to get a little more worried.
She's getting a little more worried. And she does, like, have these beautiful, like, one-liners about mm-hmm. stuff. Like, she says... When you read a book as a child, it becomes a part of your identity in a way that no other reading in your whole life does.
Right.
Which I thought is just beautiful.
Yeah, it's it's just reminiscent of how her mom probably was in the community and how she
just
is
like her
now.
Mom was this effervescent woman who like everybody loved, and the shop was just like this little haven. And it's funny, like, watching this, knowing what life is like now.
Yes.
That, like, this Fox and Sons bookstore is probably, like, bought out. Like, Amazon is doing
all that
business. Like, that would be out of business now.
All the time. Yeah. It's unfortunate. Yeah. Because those little stores are very special and unique
and
to a
community. In New York, they're, like, really...
And especially in New York,
Yeah. So, that was, we're getting closer and closer. And then, so we have the big bookstore opening. And, like... Already, people are loving it, obviously. We see, like, the montages of, like, the bags walking past her store.
Right, yes.
And, everyone's going there. One of the old authors who used to do readings at her store does it at the news store.
Right.
All these things.
She starts losing publicity and just everything.
And she's just like, oh, my, she's just mad. And I get it. Okay,
right.
I get it. One of my favorite scenes is, you know, like, the Thanksgiving scene where she's in Zabar's? And she's, like, buying crap, and she goes in the cash only,
which is so
annoying. I'm like, girl, read the signs.
Yes.
But the cashier lady is, she's on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, really?
She plays Callie.
I've never watched any Grey's Anatomy, but
So that, but she's doing, like, a ridiculous accent, like,
that
is not her real life
that's
accent.
Funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I've... How fucking busy and packed Zabar's was gives me literal flashbacks to living in New York.
Yeah. Well, I spent a Thanksgiving with you in New York. That was insane when we went shopping.
It's horrible. It is the worst. Yeah. And she's just rushing around. So I understand why the entire line was pissed at her, because that is so annoying. And of course he's in the... must live like two blocks apart.
I know. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Of course he's there, and he like can Save like with his charm convinces... I'm going to call her Callie because I don't remember the actress's name, but that's the character's name on Grey's Anatomy. So he convinces Callie to run the card.
Yeah.
And, like, she's like,
Yeah.
Because...
Well, she's charmed by him, but as soon as he leaves, she looks at Kathleen.
She's like, you're annoying. Yeah. So that's, this is, like, the beginning of the end for her store.
Yeah.
So they go home from Thanksgiving.
Well, and she asks her online friend, who she still doesn't know as Jeff Fox, but she asks him what to do. And that's when he starts using his Godfather references.
Yeah.
More so.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, to the mattresses.
To the mattresses. What is it with men and Godfather? it's kind of one of the most famous movies of all time.
Yeah. And I actually did, when I looked up this movie, too, apparently Tom Hanks really likes the Godfather, and that's actually why those lines were incorporated.
Really?
Yes.
What the shit? That's cool.
Because he says, to the mattresses, and he says some other...
Yeah.
At the party, he says...
Yeah. And then Greg Kinnear, he references it, too.
Right. So, that, for some reason, is in there just because Tom Hanks likes that movie. But, he says, to the mattresses, and she does go to the mattresses.
She does go to the mattresses.
She gets a little motivated.
She's a little motivated. But before she gets motivated, I just want to tell you something.
Yes.
I want to inquire to the world, and to the audience, and to you. Is singing during Thanksgiving, like... Something that people do.
That's right.
Because both.
That's right.
Both of these characters with their respective families sing random fucking songs.
Yeah, that was weird.
That is.
Little girl sings.
Okay, I kind of get it with like a rich family.
Yeah,
and they're like, young child, you sing.
Right,
for us.
That's normal. But
then,
with Kathleen Kelly's family, like.
What are they singing?
First of all, what are they singing?
Second of all, why? Like, it's weird.
There's
no Thanksgiving carols. This is Thanksgiving. This is not Christmas. Like, they're not singing Christmas songs.
Yes.
I just stopped the movie. I was like, I didn't remember this part.
It
I
was
must
a little
have
awkward.
Blacked it out.
It was weird.
Yeah. So that was...
I forgot about that already.
Yeah, it's not good.
I repressed that.
She repressed it immediately. so she's going to the fucking...
But yes, now she gets fired up.
And you know that part when he's telling her, like, go to the mattresses?
Yeah. It's intense.
It's intense. You know what he does? You know that meme? Everyone, reference your memes right now.
Yes. Think about the memes.
You know that meme where you see Tom Hanks sitting in a bed with a laptop on his lap, and he, like, rubs his hand together, and then he takes one finger and presses, like, the keyboard? That is from this movie!
Which, now I know.
Now she knows, and it's a magical part.
Makes so much sense.
It makes so much sense. It's just bringing together... All of my interests. Tom Hanks, memes.
Yeah.
The Godfather.
I've only seen
Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
So
he's the one who tells her to go fight.
And she does.
Which is funny. That's why it's so funny.
It's funny. And she does. And she That's does. The whole point. This irony in this movie is out of control.
Right. She hits back pretty hard,
she has her boyfriend, like, go on TV, like, write an article in the Observer and go on TV where he flirts with a TV anchor.
Yes.
And then they picket. They have kids picketing outside of the store. Right.
She's talking to the news.
Yeah. She's like, all this store offers is discounts and designer coffee, which...
It's true,
but I'm kind of on board.
Emily's pretty on board.
Discounts? Fun fact about me, I own about 300 books.
Well, yeah, this is coming from a girl with her
I have a library. It's just, books. It's a little aggressive. I love books, which is why I love this movie.
Right.
Just, I wrote down, I fucking love books.
Right.
Which, when thinking about this movie. Because I do!
Yes.
And that Fox and Books looked really cool. So basically, like... That's her defense. Like, she has her army go to.
Right. And they last some time. I mean, they fight back, but, I mean, by Christmas time,
already... Inevitably, like, you know, the store, she decides, like, she's gonna bring it out of, take it out of business.
Right.
And I know you, like, felt weird about that, like...
I did, yeah. I was...
Like, it makes sense that she'd do this, but it was like she was fighting so hard.
That's why I was
so confused. And then she just is like, I'm going to close the store.
Yeah, it seemed like she was so fired up and like...
I don't know what changed in her head. Yeah.
I'd be curious. Know either. I mean, she has that little chat with the older lady. Yeah. And I feel like her mom, or she said, oh, your mom would think it's the right decision.
Yeah.
It was, I guess.
So maybe that's what like made her feel like it was okay to do this. Because
she kind of made some peace.
It was her mom's... store, like that must be sort of intense, you know, for a person.
Yeah, to uphold.
Oh, sad.
Yeah,
and it's just a institution. Okay.
Yeah. Either way, it was kind of conflicting with how
it was very abrupt.
Yes,
I felt like it was like abrupt, yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, I guess they had to move the plot along at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So by Christmas, she's going out of business. They're having the like final sales, and
And during this time, she's chatting with her little. Man friend.
Right.
And they decide to meet in person.
Oh, right. How
which
forget?
Stresses the hell out of me, because that is...
Especially back then, no pictures, no name,
nothing.
Oh my god,
it could be a serial killer. Of
yes.
course, like, ugh.
Could be a killer for sure.
Could be a killer. He's definitely a killer. So basically they decide to meet in this coffee shop.
Right.
So
like, she's like, I'll be there
with a book and a flower in my book.
Yeah,
so she goes, and Tom Hanks brings Dave Chappelle.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yeah.
I could use their names, but I'm not going to. And he has Dave Chappelle, Kevin, look into the window.
Right, because he's excited.
To make sure she's not a real dog, as Kevin says,
great.
Which is just
great.
That. And he sees her, and he's like, oh, she's pretty.
Yeah.
But then he sees her.
And he realizes.
He's like, you know that Kathleen Kelly?
Yeah.
Don't you think she's pretty? And he's like, yeah. Well, you'll like this girl
because right,
she is Kathleen Kelly.
Yeah, she is.
Oh,
boom! Reveal.
So reveal the big reveal. Mm-hmm. But again, some irony here that Meg Ryan still doesn't know that Joe is the guy, even though
it's a half reveal.
Yeah,
I guess,
so he has all the knowledge here.
Yes,
and he basically, you know what he also says before like the reveal, he says. I hope she doesn't have one of those high, squeaky voices like the mice in Cinderella.
Oh, yeah. I remember
what
that.
What the fuck?
That's weird. And also, why would that be wrong?
Why would that be wrong?
Exactly.
Like, I'm curious, like, guys, like, is that a big concern, like, voice?
Yeah, let us know.
Like, tone and volume?
You know what, Minnie Mouse, I guess?
You don't want, like, a Minnie Mouse in your life? Okay, I guess. I get it, I guess. Yeah. So basically sees her.
Well, and they make it... He leaves. Well,
he leaves.
I'm doing quotes, but you can't see. He leaves, but he, Joe Fox, comes in. So he does go in there.
Yeah.
But again, she has no idea that he knows.
But he is letting her down because he...
The anonymous...
Yeah.
She thinks she's going to meet him.
No.
But he doesn't
He never shows up because
NY 152 does not
NY 152 shows up, but Joe Fox does.
Yes. So she's great.
Yeah, she's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
She says that. She says that.
It's PG.
You know what she does next? Is she opens a drink.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We gotta keep going.
We're refilling our drinks real quick.
We gotta keep going here.
Hold, please. Oh, my God.
Oh, careful.
Pineapple just got in my eye.
Oh, good. Good.
Now you're chill.
I will.
Now my eye will be... Super sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Emily's just making a huge mess.
I'm just making a huge mess.
It's good. No problem.
No problem. No problem at all.
But yeah, let me keep going. Let's see. So, okay, yeah. So, Jo Fox comes in. She's pissed because she's fucking like, great. Pissed. I hate you so much.
You put me out of business. Piece of shit.
Yeah. So, and he's sort of like messing with her. I think he's trying to be flirty because he does. The thing is, I know he likes her.
He loves her. They have a relationship.
But now that he knows that she's online, it's just complicated.
It's complicated.
But she's having none of it. She's like, move she's my, like, you know, NY25, or not NY25, NY152 is coming. I flipped the number, sorry.
It's fine. We're pissed at you.
NY52 is, no!
152
is coming. You need to move. And he's like, I'll move. And he goes to sit behind her, continuing to be annoying, which I don't blame her for getting irritated.
God, what a dick.
He is kind of annoying. Like he doesn't leave her alone.
Get the fuck out. Like, ugh. Yeah. So basically, at this point, like she after this little scenario, Elsa just...
It's really sour, sort of.
Sour, okay. After this encounter, she goes to work, and she's like...
she insults him pretty hardcore.
Oh, yeah, she does.
She insults him, and he's like, I guess that's... Is that what he says? It's my cue to leave, or something like that.
Oh,
like,
I don't remember.
He's like, wow. He leaves.
I'm way out of order in this movie right now. It's fine.
Essentially, she insults him hard.
And he's like, okay, bye, thanks. Yeah. And she goes to work the next day, and they're like, so... And she's like, he didn't show, but Jo Fox was there, and I was mean to him. Like, she does acknowledge that she was...
Yeah, that's right. She immediately regretted it.
Yeah, she did immediately regret it. Because, I think she is a good person. I think they're both essentially good people, but...
And it was him, as his online persona, who encouraged her to be that way. He said, you should take some of my zingers, as he says, use them, but you might regret it. And she did that. She did use a zinger, but she also regretted it. So now I think she could see his side of that. And that she's not really like that. Like, she doesn't actually want to be like that. But she can't help it now. She's got some confidence. A little bit.
Basically, you know what else he did? He called her a real bitch.
He did. That's
that was a little much.
Damn, that's PG.
I'm like, Tom, baby, you're my childhood.
That's right. You know, Woody. Yeah, this movie, come on. It's like a lot of hatred. But they still fall in love.
Yeah. Oh, it's lovers to haters. Lovers. I mean, haters.
Good going.
The hate to love.
Yeah, hate to love. Which I guess I do like.
Oh, I love it. But it needs to be appropriate. I think there's... The thing is, like, other than that, I don't think it's too bad. Don't you think?
I guess Yeah.
Like,
it's
a
not,
real bitch, that's not great. That's not a good...
It's
like,
not great,
don't
but
say
she's
that.
Pretty mean to whatever she said to him was
pretty
harsh,
actually.
Oh,
my God, yeah, it was attacking
like,
his
you're
character.
You're not even a person or
Yeah,
like
he's
that.
Like, you're... Like, I don't even remember, let me tell ya.
So they're both a little mean to each other.
Yeah, they are.
But deep down...
Deep down.
They care.
Yeah,
and they
do.
Feel for each other.
They do. Okay, and so we go through this. Okay, yes. We go through this. She's upset.
She's upset, her store is down, but she's trying to... Fine.
Yeah. And you know what? After that encounter, he gets stuck. Is it? Okay. Just let me ask you something. I don't remember. I just watched this movie. I don't remember.
Yeah, you watched it, like, yesterday.
I know. Oh, so there's some series of events where, like, she apologized.
I guess.
He says, like, oh, fuck. What does he say? He, like, messaged her. He's like, I'm sorry. I didn't meet you or something. Blah, blah, bloop.
Oh, okay, okay.
Is that elevator?
The insult hurts him, so he doesn't respond for a while.
Yeah.
She asks. She goes online. She's like, why weren't you there? Oh. He waits a while because he's mad.
Oh,
but then.
Oh, the inciting incident is that he gets stuck in the elevator.
And then he gets remotivated.
And his Patricia lady, which the thing I do. Yeah. She, like, ends up being kind of bitchy in the elevator.
Right.
And so she goes, like, where are my Tic Tacs?
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Where are my Tic Tacs? I love
that part. That was good. But the elevator dude, inspires him. He's like, you know, I'm going to... This is the elevator dude.
Yeah.
I don't know what his name is, but shout out to the elevator dude.
Shout out to the elevator dude. You are the real MVP.
He basically
MVP.
Pulled out this picture of his
lady.
Girlfriend lady.
And he's like, I need to marry her.
Yeah. He's like, now that I'm stuck in this elevator, I realize the most important woman is my girlfriend, and I want to. I'm gonna marry her. And
that,
Tom
like,
Hanks or Jo Fox, he's
immediately
like,
breaks up with his girlfriend.
Yeah,
he kind of like at this point, I think this is like the moment he realizes he's been in the wrong.
Right. Or, he needs to set aside the differences.
Yeah,
and
he
has been a jerk. Like
he has been a little bit of a jerk.
And he decides to finally message her back. And I think he tries to, like, make up a good excuse. I remember him writing a really detailed, which the more detailed it is, the more it's a lie.
Like, yeah, honestly. You know? And then he basically, like, scraps all that, and he, like, says a really nice response.
Should meet again, right? Yeah. Not yet.
I'm not ready to meet, but I'll tell you.
Right. He says eventually. Like, yeah. I'm just going through some stuff. But that's when her friends, too, are, like, starting to come up with ideas. Like, oh, maybe
he's a serial killer. Like, killer. Listen. Do they not have Select All in 1998? Because he deleted... his entire message with just the delete button.
That's right, that was
he
was so like, annoying.
Why is he select? Oh my god!
Either they had it or
Or this is for the benefit of them. Yeah, they need an extra minute in the movie.
It was kind of a long movie.
It's very long. It's like 2 hours.
2 hours, yeah.
So, anyway, back to the movie. So at this point, Kathleen is like, okay, it's time to break up with my boyfriend.
Right, because she's going through some changes.
Like, I don't remember the exact series of events.
I know.
We are the worst. We're really good at this. The worst podcast that's ever happened.
Yep.
so basically, they are in a movie together. Greg Kinnear and Kathleen... Greg Kinnear and Meg Ryan are in a movie together. And they're, like, chatting before the movie starts.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And basically, they're, like, arguing.
Yes, right. And she's like, I couldn't be with someone. Or what does he say?
I don't know.
We're really good at this. They're arguing.
And she's I didn't vote in the last mayoral election. I went to get manicure and I forgot to vote. Yeah. Which is, like, my least favorite part of this movie. Sucks. Because that is just,
Come on, girl, vote.
Everyone.
Yeah, by the way, vote.
If this episode goes out before the vote, probably won't. So, basically, Greg Kinnear is, like, being chill, and he forgives her for that. They forgive one another.
And they go to dinner, and they discuss.
They'd have this, like, super chill breakup.
Yeah, actually, it was quite chill.
So, like, does that happen?
Right. They're like, IRL? What do we even have in common?
Yeah, they're like, we kind of like other people. He's into someone else.
Yeah, it was actually pretty chill. I was surprised.
Yeah.
And they don't even show.
Listen, I think the reason he broke up with her is because she uses fucking handkerchiefs.
Oh my god!
Which is just, we didn't even address this. This happened way at the beginning.
This is coming from two sort of germaphobes.
Oh my god! I thought those were extinct.
Me too.
She's also, like, she hands it to a child.
But that's a whole other thing.
I just needed to bring it up immediately.
Yeah, she uses handkerchief. Mm-hmm. So they go their separate ways. Frank and Kelly. Kathleen. So both of them now. So Joe Fox, Kathleen Kelly, they've broken up with their significant others. They're going through some changes. Joe's looking on a boat or whatever.
Yeah, he's looking on his boat. And now he, like, has this plan in motion because he knows he loves her.
Right.
And so he's like, I want to be with her.
Right.
But I can't do it this way. Like, she needs
to,
like,
you can't just say, hey, by the way, I'm 52.
Like, do. So basically, this is where, like, there are some criticisms of this movie. He basically makes her fall in love with him.
Yes.
Without telling her that he knows that they're...
Yeah, because he's still a messenger while he's meeting her in real life.
Yeah, so that's there's some shadiness.
Yeah.
This whole scenario is a little much. Yeah. Regardless.
Yeah.
So basically, you see them, like, montage level spring in New York City.
Yeah.
Basically them, like, falling in love.
Wait, before that, though...
What? Oh my god, we're forgetting so many things.
The biggest thing, what starts it all. Oh. He comes to her apartment when she's sick.
Yeah.
And this was, to me, I don't know, I can't help it, this was a really cute scene for me. Because he comes in, and she's like, oh god, don't come in, like, I'm sick, or whatever, and, like, but then when he does come up and ring the doorbell, she, like, gets all
excited.
She's like, oh no, and she's, like, kind of cleaning up really quick, tissues, and she's, like, trying to, be a little cute for him, or whatever. But still hate him. It's an interesting, scene.
It's a good dynamic.
Because he's like, hi, and he's, like, pretty sweet.
Yeah, he is sweet.
But my favorite part is when he gives her the flowers. She's, like, holding on to him because she's kind of in this, like, sick days, essentially. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She puts him down, and then he's suddenly, like, tucking her into bed.
So cute.
That, I mean, it may sound cheesy.
That's also the fantasy.
No, but wait, even further.
Oh, no.
He tucks her into bed, and she's talking. And when he puts his fingers to her lips, I was like, is this movie PG? I don't know, because I felt a
sexy,
little something.
Sexy, cold.
It was hot.
Oh my god, awesome!
I'm not gonna lie, if you haven't seen this movie, but You should just look up that scene. He just puts his lips, and he keeps them there. And he, like, wait, you can't see anything I'm doing.
She's referencing it.
Like, puts his fingers down her lips. And it's hot. I mean, oh my God. To me. Like, for...
Wow.
And they're silent. Like, they're just staring into each other's eyes. It was cute.
I was having a moment. Yeah, take a drink of your drink. She needs a drink.
Oh, and that's when they finally, they keep hanging on.
This is when they start, they're like, become friends. Like, she's, okay, this is insane.
Right, he's giving her advice. Oh, my God,
Yes, he is. And she's, like, reading in Starbucks.
Oh, my God, so much product placement with Starbucks.
Oh, my God.
I want to say, like, 500 Starbucks.
AOL. This product placement is out of control in this movie. This is, like, egregious. It is so bad. But she's drinking in Starbucks when she fucking hates big box stores.
Yes.
Ooh, and designer coffee. I'm like, girl, you're drinking Starbucks every day. Like, you are a little bit of a hypocrite.
A little basic.
The thing is, a little bit. She's a little basic. We all love our Starbucks.
True, though. Yes.
We did go today.
Yeah, we did.
We had to go with, we went today to get lattes. And Elsa got her green tea latte with coconut milk. And I was like, oh my gosh, I should get my regular latte, my iced latte with almond milk because I do like almond milk.
Me too.
I order it. It literally tastes like bark. It is disgusting. It tastes like a tree.
She did this to myself.
It's my own freaking fault. Thank goodness I had a gift card because then I had to go get a second.
All right, we had to go to a whole nother Starbucks.
Okay, shut up. You're exposing me.
I know. It was worth it though. I tried it and it was gross. She deserved a better drink.
Thank you, Elsa. I really did. I had a hard
time. So, you know, as Kathleen Kelly and Joe Fox love their Starbucks, we do too.
We do too. Like, we get it. We get it. But also, it's like, girl, you can't complain about the designer coffee at this Fox and Sons and then drink Starbucks every day. Whatever. That is just a little side note.
Right. Anyway, they're hanging out as friends.
And it's, like, going really well. It's really cute.
He's
hang out.
Her advice on how to do with himself.
Yeah.
Which is funny, actually.
Which is, like, a little, like, creepy.
Creepy, but funny.
Yeah. So basically, they make this plan. So we're winding down, friends. Can you guess?
True. It's a long movie, but they're finally winding down.
Can you guess what's going to happen? There's going to be a IRL meet.
Right.
So they decide to meet in Riverside Park. At this, like, flowery area.
Right.
I don't know.
He just says Riverside Park at 4 o'clock or something like that.
What does he say? He says,
But before that, Joe, like, real Joe or whatever, he's like, have lunch with me before, though. Like, they have lunch. And then they go meet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and right before they do that, Joe Fox IRL... reveals he has feelings
for. Oh, that's right. He essentially confesses.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. So basically, she goes into this meeting. He does this immediately before, because they have a little, like, day date before she meets up with NY152.
Yeah.
So basically, she goes into that meeting, like, knowing that, and then she goes to the predetermined spot. And basically, he had said, like, me and Brinkley, his golden retriever, which is, it's cute.
I know, it is.
That's
cute.
My literal.
And you hear his voice calling out, Brinkley.
You see Brinkley, and then you see the dog, and then you see him, and she's like,
she's shocked, yeah.
The angels are singing, and she said, I hoped it was you.
Right.
Ah!
Yeah, that got me.
And then they kiss, and it's really cute.
It is really romantic.
And then
the
movie's over.
Well,
we end with another Harry Nilsson song, which is, like, good...
Oh, there were several, though, because they did Remember the Christmas Time.
Remember.
I guess. It's kind of a sad, as she says,
song. Yeah, it is sad. So that's the end of it. And that's You've Got Mail. That's the very, very, very bad synopsis from two tipsy 24-year-olds.
Yeah, sorry, y'all. That was... actually all over the place. I don't even know if you kept up, so
if you
I don't
did,
know if I kept up.
If you did, everyone take a drink.
Yeah.
Cheers, Elsa.
That's right. Cheers.
Ding.
Yep.
This movie got $18 million in its opening weekend.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy? And a worldwide total of $250 million. Isn't that crazy? So it was very, very popular.
I mean, it was well-received, I guess.
It was definitely well-received, but... there are some parts of it, like, I think we should talk about.
Right. I mean, we've already mentioned throughout It's not perfect.
It's not perfect.
At all.
Okay, so one thing that, a few parts of it that we think we should talk about.
Yeah. Some classic tropes.
One thing that a lot of people point out is Joe being kind of a liar and a cheat, which we talked about.
Yes.
He went, you know, basically from the start, he got into this chat room to cheat on his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Which, like, I understand, but also she did the same thing.
Right, she's not completely without fault, obviously. Yeah. They're both chatting with someone they clearly have feelings for.
They both have significant others.
Yeah, with a significant
other.
And so, they're being secretive. I mean, in the intro scene, they're, like, waiting for their significant other to be gone so that they can message someone. And they don't tell their significant other that this is going on. So that, to me, is slightly, kind of, like, cheating.
Yeah, and even when, like, you know, that's a really good question, like, the kind of emotional cheating.
Or, yeah, I guess there are a lot
A lot of people, like, don't know, like, don't consider that cheating. Right. Or some people do.
People define cheating different ways.
Yeah. So, there is that gray area, but they're both doing it.
Right. And they're they are both doing it.
You know, when he, like, omits his name, like, I don't think that was to be really rude or, a liar.
I don't think he really was doing it.
Why would you, like, reveal yourself to be the enemy?
Right.
In the person's store.
And he probably, maybe he thought he would never see her again, also.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he might, probably.
What I don't like is that, the fact that he knew, like, I understand him wanting to, like, build a face-to-face relationship with her, but I hate that, like, when he found the truth,
he knew the truth, he could manipulate her
by, like, messaging her what he wanted,
right.
And, like,
you know, like, yeah, that's,
that's where it's, like, really pretty creepy. Gross,
yeah.
But I do think they did have the good, like, you know, background within each other that they both had already fallen in love, I think. But when we get to that point, it's just like, really?
Ooh, right, it's kinda gross. Why did he have to keep it up for that long?
There's some gray areas,
for sure.
Another thing people talk about, which I've seen randomly online, is that he purposefully is driving her out of business.
Well, right.
Which I don't think I really agree with, because as much as, like, it's the big bad box store, like, it's his business. And I don't think he's purposely trying to get her out of business. I mean, like, he has to pay $73 for his books. Like, come on.
I know. I don't think it's a personal vendetta against her. It's just, he's all about business. I mean, I think whether he knew her or not, it would have happened, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I mean, I still do agree in a way. I'm like, they did kind of make light of a big business buying out a small business. But at the same time, like, it was probably inevitable. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, I don't know how they could have changed that plot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how could have it worked in her favor?
I think that's the defining plot of this movie. It's like the struggle between the little store and the big store.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's weird. It's really complicated.
It's complicated. Okay. Okay. What else? We've got, like, which I kind of mentioned, the manipulation factor in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the men in this movie.
Yeah.
Kind of this dominance, this misogyny, this
manipulation,
which we can definitely see. I mean, Joe does it for sure.
Frank, even though. There's a scene where she's talking and he, like, snaps and, like, shushes her.
Yeah.
That
I'm like,
really
ew, like, shut up. Like, he just, so there's, like, a lot, and the older Fox men.
Yeah, oh.
Who are just, like, talking just down, gross. Like, about the women they're with, or da-da-da, you know, all those, like.
And there's a whole scene with Joe Fox and his dad.
Yeah.
Dad Fox, I don't know what his first name is. But they have a whole conversation about all the women that his dad has been with. And, like, three or four of them had been Joe's nanny. And his dad was like, oh, they were all your nanny? Ha, ha, ha. Like, what? Like, it was just very gross. Like, that's how many women he's, like, messed with and, like, been with.
Like, the philandering. It's just, like,
And, like, there's, like, I wish I'd written it down, but, like, his father was essentially, like, when did I ever even love any of those women, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm assuming included his mom.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a great role model right there.
Yeah. And then, like, Joe being sort of just, like, cruel, letting her wallow, letting her, you know, think that he's not showing up. Like, all of these things.
Yeah, that's a little
like,
evil,
he
actually.
Is the one in kind of in charge.
Yes,
in this scenario.
He
like,
really
he's
is.
In control. He's manipulating her into thinking a certain way about him, which I think can be excused to the extent that they did have this relationship already set up. I think when they get, like I said, when they get to that, like, he knows and she doesn't. Yeah. That's when it gets, like, kind of gross. Yeah. Like, he should have, probably should have owned up immediately.
Yes.
I don't think it would have gone the same way, and it wouldn't have been a romantic comedy if that happened.
I think for the sake of a romantic comedy, they're just going to do
it. In 1998. Yes. Like,
it's, I mean, most movies. I mean, you kind of have to suspend
disbelief.
Your disbelief. Yeah. And you have, things are just a little more kind of fantasy. You just kind of have to go with it because they're just trying to get the plot going and make you feel, I don't know, they just want you to feel good.
Yeah.
And I guess you just have to think, okay, well, yeah, if this happened in real life, it would be really awful, but for the sake
of a movie,
you just kind of have to think, okay, at the end of the day, this is just a movie.
And this movie was, you know, written by two women. So you could, maybe there is some, like, cultural, you know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe it was a fantasy of theirs. Like, maybe that's just, like,
I mean, it's Nora Ephron. Like, she is a master of the romantic comedy. Like,
right. So she just knows how it goes.
Yeah. Like, she knows how to make a great romantic comedy.
Right.
And for all of the criticisms, like, one of the worst is the fucking product placement.
Yes, of course. That's probably the biggest thing.
God, just, like, force-fed images and advertising into us. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, there was, like, quite a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, one of the most, I think in, like, history. Mm-hmm. I can't think of too many other movies, like, offhand that have that much product placement.
Right.
Like, can you think of anything?
I mean, I've taken pop culture classes. It's, like, there are more than you would think, but more movies are better at making it, like, subliminal, where it's very fast, and, like, you've seen it, but you don't really know that you've seen it. Like, there's a movie I saw where they had a ton of, it was mostly, like, snacks and drinks, but when you actually slowed it down, you could see how many times you could, it's interesting. God. Movies are really good at doing it without us knowing, and that's just the whole psychology part
scary.
Of it. I know, but this one was more explicit, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, most are quite subtle about it, and, I mean, but still some are not, and even, well, this makes me think, brief sidetrack here, like, Wayne's World, if you've ever seen Wayne's World, they make a purposeful, like, show of some products because they know that movies do that. It's really funny if you've ever seen that movie.
Yep.
It's really great.
yeah.
Because they kind of reveal what a lot of movies do. But this one definitely is pretty obvious.
And I think, like, overall, do you like this? Like, what are your overall thoughts?
Overall,
like,
yeah.
Tell me your thoughts.
I think, I mean, since this is my first time seeing it now at 24, it's not really one of my favorites, but just because of that. Like, I didn't really grow up watching it. I don't maybe have some of those, like, connections of nostalgia. But, again, there were moments that I thought were cute, and if I didn't really think about any of the complicated parts of it, I enjoyed it. I was like, okay, this is a classic rom-com. Like, it's funny, it's cute.
I love,
And, you know, fun.
It's fun, yeah.
But overall, I wouldn't put it in, like, my top.
Yeah. Yeah, rom-coms. So, like, I grew up, like I said, I grew up watching this. I love this movie. I do. Like, I'm always going to like it. Mm-hmm. But as I get older, I recognize, like, the problems with it, obviously.
Right.
It is, and I also am more and more seeing how cutesy it is.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It is just so cutesy and innocent.
Right.
And, like,
her reaction. Like, it's cutesy.
Yeah,
cutesy.
It's just, it's, yeah.
It's supposed to be that way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to, it's like, it encapsulates so many tropes of the rom-com genre, and I honestly love every rom-com, almost every rom-com I see, let's be real, like, I don't know, there's something wrong with my brain, but yeah, so I always loved it, I do think it's, like,
fine, I mean, hey, that's what happens in life,
what
we might grow up seeing, and what we enjoy, and
yeah, exactly,
but that's why we're here to discuss it, because,
yeah. You know.
We have different feelings about it, and...
Exactly.
There's many more to come.
There's many more to come.
Movies that we can
And
talk
I do
about.
Love, like, I think the enduring, you know, history of this movie, like, this movie is always going to be something to reference, because it's one of the first, I think, that, like, introduced technology.
Oh, right. We forgot to mention
Yeah,
that
into rom-coms.
Yes,
like,
it's a big one.
I read somewhere that it sparked people to register for AOL.
Yeah, I mean, like, this was very different first time.
Oh my, like, gosh, so
internet
different.
And email and Messenger.
Ooh, yeah,
I mean,
it's just
on.
Like, and now, like, nowadays, I'm like, you can't go to any movie or see any TV show that has, like, a rom-com related plot line and not see, like, texting or, right? You know, yeah. Like, if you've ever seen The Mindy Project, mm-hmm. Oh my, that entire show is basically an homage to this.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Which Mindy Kaling has said herself.
Right.
But yeah. It just, like, all of those, like, textual plot lines, like, that is all based kind of on this, I think.
Right.
Like,
I mean, yeah, phones are everything. And in our real lives, if you're dating out there, I mean, that's what a lot of dating is for, like, a lot of people now.
Yeah.
Online.
Oh, God.
You know? Online.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah, we won't get too deep into that.
About
but
dating.
Essentially.
Oh, Lord.
It's what it has become. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's true. So, if you want, like, a kind of remake of this movie, I suggest you watch the Mindy Project episode, You've Got Sexed.
Oh, right.
Which is freaking fantastic.
Yeah, and that show is hilarious.
Oh, watch the entire
show. I have yet
show.
To finish it, but I will. Yeah. I will soon. It's so good.
Oh, freaking good.
And she does a wow. good episode wow. on that.
It's so good. Wow. So yeah, so that is You've Got Mail. We got drunker and drunker as we did
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it probably got way
oh
less
my
coherent.
Gosh.
It got,
this is apologies. The first, guys, this is the first episode. It doesn't have to be perfect, right?
Right. Trial run, baby.
The next one we do will like, we'll be better suited. Right?
For, don't put us too high.
Don't, no. Just kidding. Like, these are going to be not great podcasts.
But they will be great.
They will be great because we're there for you.
Yes.
And we thought it'd be funny.
Oh, right. We can't forget share. This.
So we went through, like, a lot of trials. It took us a while to come up with a name.
Right.
We ended up liking this because we think You've Got Mail is one of, like, the OG rom-coms.
Right, exactly. Like,
and
Everyone knows about it.
And rom-com, I can't talk, and You've Got Mail transfers into You've Got Cocktail,
right, which
very nicely
translates into what we enjoy, which is drinking.
But we did go through some other names,
let's
so,
hear.
Here we go. So our first one is 10 Things I Hate About Hugh.
I really like that one. That's our second.
It's bolded on our list.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Hugh Grant.
I almost said Hugh Jackman. Hugh Grant, yes, is
Hugh
in
Grant.
So many
God,
moms.
Love him. Okay, and then we, what else do we get?
Oh, yes, Pretty in Clink, which...
Not clink. Great!
You know, Clink, like,
Clink, clink, like, Clink, like, Pretty in Pink.
Yeah.
Problematic.
Yeah,
Then we had A Million Tiny Little Things, yeah. Which is a reference to, I just lost it in my brain. It is a reference to. Fuck, I'm having a breakdown. Oh my God, it's a reference
to
Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, this is why I couldn't pitch in, because I've actually never seen that one either, and that'll be one of
our
list.
Oh my God, my brain just died. Okay, then we got
Crazy Stupid Rom-Coms, which actually I kind of
it's not bad. It's
too.
Not bad. It's
crazy,
not bad.
Crazy Stupid, because we're crazy.
We're stupid.
We get all stupid when we drink.
And we're stupid. And Crazy Stupid Love.
And we're stupid.
Then we did Rom-Com-onomics.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, like, hard to say.
It is. It's a mouthful.
We'll talk about that more. You know, I think it's going to be kind of like a segment on this podcast because, like, we didn't touch base on it. We kind of touched base on it. Yeah. But, like, what these freaking characters, these apartments they live in New York City.
Right. I mean, there's just so much to talk about. So much to address.
So much to address. Yeah. And, like, the economics of it. It's
right.
Really
like, how are these, like,
how are you affording this?
Affording anything, really.
You're, yeah.
God. What else we got? Oh, never, just never been kissed. Just, like, the
just never
movie.
Been kissed, because we've both never been kissed.
That is a lie.
She needed to make it, that is a lie! She needed to make it very clear.
I had to defend myself
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, my dog has kissed me, yeah, so it's right? not a lie. Jokes. We've been kissed! Okay, next up we had Sweet... This is so stupid. We got sillier and sillier.
I don't remember this one!
Sweet Home Pajama.
This one is awful.
Like, Sweet Home Alabama, but, like, we like pajamas.
Well, just
it's
being
comfy. It's so shitty. That
it
one
sucks.
Okay.
Let's move past that one. Love at First Sight, which is just
like
classic
a classic
saying.
Rom-com saying. Yeah. Then we got Two Girls and a Rom-Com. You know, Two Girls, One Rom-Com.
You know, throwback.
It is Two Girls and Rom-Com.
And Rom-Com.
Okay.
Chick.
So stupid.
Chick Click. Honestly, in order to be a click, we haven't had any more than two people.
No, we
I'm
don't.
Sorry.
We're our own clique! We're our own clique!
A clique should no, be more I'm than two people.
No, I'm looking it up. What is
I'm
a clique?
I'm arguing that. A clique is a group.
A small group of group. People.
Two people is not a group.
Okay.
Two people is not
what's
a group.
What's a group? That's a group. I'm Googling it. A number of people or things that are located close together.
Okay.
See?
Agree
I
to disagree.
Win.
Agree to disagree.
Okay, okay,
let's
okay.
move on.
All right. Then you pod me at hello. Because, like, you had me at hello.
Well, I know, but...
You understand the reference?
Yes, yes.
Okay, okay.
That's good. And then finally, probably the worst one.
Oh, this is bad.
Double E. Because, I mean, it's Emily and Elsa.
Emily and Elsa.
And we've always had double E as a,
we
as
used
a
to,
name.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Something.
We used to ride the bus together, and we'd go past this, like, run down.
Oh, I'm out.
Oh, there's more rum.
Oh, good. Why is all the rum gone?
Where's all the rum gone? Fuck Johnny Depp.
I know.
Sidebar. Because we'd go past this.
Oh, yeah, it was an empty available space.
Yes.
And we're like, someday we're gonna have a bakery?
Bakery!
Which, why? Because I can't do any cooking.
I bake, but it's not that fun for me. We'd call it Double E Bakery. Yeah, half me it. She's trying to take all the rum. Guys, she's trying to... Oh, that's... Oh,
more than half. That's mine.
Okay. So, yeah, we wanted to call our bakery Double E Bakery, and,
the Double E Podcast, or I don't know.
Oh. Double E... We're both, like, trying. Oh, we need more coconut cream.
Yeah, a whole mess. Oh, that has pineapple in it, too. What are you
thinking? Yeah, we oh, yeah, we're so stupid.
Huh? Anyway, those are the names.
Those are the names. Are there more rums?
That was it.
Oh, my God!
That's why we're going out later.
Yeah,
worry.
We're going out after this.
The night will
is,
not be wasted.
This is a podcast
we
pregame,
will.
Guys. We're going to do this every time we go out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Ooh, is it too much liquor?
It's a lot of rum.
Ooh! She's got it. We're not even drinking that much.
I know.
My face is very red.
I'm still gonna add blush. I don't care.
I can't wear blush because I like
hey,
get
you got
red.
That natural flush.
Oh yes, the natural flush.
That's great.
Makes me look like I'm sweating.
Okay, so yeah, those were our names. I hope that you like you got cocktail because you've
got
cocktail.
You got cocktail.
Yeah.
I hope you like you've got cocktail.
Because that's what it is.
That's
and
what it is.
That's what
and
you get.
You're coming at... We're coming at you with more episodes. We have this fucking list of rom-coms
we're
we want to talk
100.
About.
Yeah,
we want to talk about desperately.
Yeah.
And we have some fun
so
guests.
Many good ones.
We have some fun guests coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. She's looking at me confused.
We
no,
do,
we do.
Though.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
We have... We're going to have some male perspective coming in. About the rom-coms.
I guess.
If we must
have a male perspective.
We don't need it. My dog is the male perspective.
Oh, yeah. That's a his opinion.
Oh, my God. Okay, I think it's time
no,
to stop.
We stop here because
things are getting out of hand. Okay.
And I keep getting really close to the mic. I apologize.
So we're just going to end this.